So Pinder asked the question late on Monday afternoon. Good question. I liked it then. It's even better now. Why not Dylan Dubé? Well, after another outstanding showing in Calgary's second rookie game against the Oilers last night, let's ask the question again. Why not Dylan Dubé? 2 assists last night, 4 points in 2 rookie games. He was by far the best player on the ice. Here's his coach last night, Stockton Heat head coach Cale MacLean.
Competitive game, fast game, and he was able to rise above it with that speed, and I think that's what separates him. He had a stutter step at one point in the second period that it didn't look like he should be able to do that, and he was able to find his way around a guy at the last minute. And so he's pretty smooth. He's got really good edges, and that came through tonight.
To this point, every time Dubé's been on the ice in these two rookie games, something has happened. His skating is outstanding. He seems a step ahead of most, if not all, players in these rookie games. He's smart. Watch him away from the puck. And if you haven't seen him, if you weren't able to go to either of the rookie games, then if you go to a preseason game and Dubé's in, watch him away from the puck, because the way he moves to space to get open for passes, the way that he anticipates away from the puck in the defensive zone to intercept and kind of break up plays, he's good with the puck. He's dynamic. He's a good, like, every time he's on the ice, with or without the puck, something happens. Ryan, I know that you got into it a little bit with Francis today, because Francis said, hey, you know what? Probably not any room at center. And your response was?
Move him to the wing.
And Ryan Huska has talked about this. He can play all 3 forward spots.
He went to the World Juniors and played wing. I don't know. I mean, did anyone have a problem when Sam Bennett played wing his rookie year and scored 18? I mean, you can move centers to the wing and eventually have them come back to their natural position. The opposite is almost impossible. But wingers turning into centers, or centers that go to the wing early in their NHL career, is incredibly common. It happens all the time.
Yep.
And we've heard the organization talk continually about his versatility, both wings and center. Is a Swiss Army knife in your lineup, no matter what's happening with injuries or someone's got the flu or whatever the case may be. This guy can play all over your forward lineup. You could put him with skill. You could put him with a defensive responsibility. You can put him left. You can put him right. You can put him in the middle. And he has been that good that I think he is the player to watch heading into main camp, which has yet to begin. But if there's going to be someone that participated in the prospects camp that's got a spotlight on him when the big boys get back, and even before then when the preseason gets going, it's Dylan Dubé.
Yeah, and you know, this is something that Lou said last night, but the Flames played 2 preseason games right at the end of their schedule. They play on the road. I believe they play games in Edmonton and San Jose. And those are the 2 games, because those are late preseason games. And those are when especially when you're playing the home team, those are when the opposition lineups are going to be pretty darn close to opening day. And you start to get a little bit closer to what you're going to see in the regular season. And that's going to be a big time opportunity for Dubé to show what he's about against NHL players. But the point about versatility, I think, is the most important one. When you ask the question, why not Dylan Dubé, you know, we talked about him as maybe filling one of those wing spots. But the fact that he, as we ask the question again, the fact that he is able to play any one of those 3 forward spots, yes, right now we kind of project a spot on the wing being open, but what if somebody gets hurt? What if one of the centers gets hurt in training camp, and now all of a sudden you've got a guy who's an option on the wing and at center? And now, like, his versatility probably, he still has to prove it against NHLers, but his versatility might give him a leg up on a lot of other guys vying for forward spots.
He is absolutely not a center and a center only. By the way, I don't know of those players. If you're a good centerman, you can move to the wing and have success. I asked Lou this morning via text about what he recalls about Dylan Dubé's role in the 2 World Juniors he's participated in. The first one, Lou says, Dubé was a 3rd and 4th line checking role, still saw a considerable amount of ice time on a line with Matthew Joseph and Anthony Cirelli. They were in some ways Canada's most consistent line from start to finish of the tournament that year, and he played the wing the entire time. He played the wing as a 16-year-old in Kelowna. He's like, this is not new. It's not like, well, he's a good goalie, but I guess he's going to have to play D until one of the goalies. No, this, are you kidding me? It's the same bloody thing of some less face-offs. Like, if you can handle the thinking at center, you're fine on the wing.
Well, and that's what the Flames have talked multiple times, as you said, about, like, all of a sudden you've got a center who you've got on in the wing, and your center gets waved out of the face-off. You're pretty happy when that guy goes in to take the face-off.
Yeah, no one's suggesting that, you know, Sam Bennett or Elias Lindholm can't play some center. Everyone says, yeah, well, they're centermen, but they're fine on the wing. And you know, they can have success on the wing. They have had some success on the wing. Bennett scored 18 on the wing. Lindholm 17 on the wing last year. But more centers is better. That's all we hear from NHL GMs, head coaches, you know, people in hockey operations. You want more options at center, not less. You can always push centers to the wing. Go look at championship caliber teams. A lot of centers on the wing. You know, Joe Pavelski can play center, but he's better suited on the wing.
Yep.
No problem here. And by the way, if he has to beat out a Hathaway or a Lazar, not too worried. He's been better than Mangiapane to this point. I mean, I think it's a very legitimate possibility he breaks as one of your top 12 forwards that will play. Yep. We can get into the popcorn eating conversation. He's not going to do that. If he's here, he's going to be playing. But you tell me who belongs in that top 12 that isn't in when you put Dubé's name or when you put Dubé's name in. Like I don't know who's going to be better than him in camp.
More often than not, you get off to a really good start like this, it kind of snowballs. Have I seen guys who burst onto the scene and then all of a sudden when you get into the real nitty-gritty of the preseason and training camp, fade away? Yeah, I've seen that before. Absolutely, I've seen that before. But more often than not, when you've got a young player who clearly has skill like Dubé does and you get off to a good start like this, it keeps rolling into training camp. Now, it's a different scenario because he's not a first-round pick and he's not in his first year with the organization, but I look at the preseasons for guys like Sean Monahan and Matthew Tkachuk in recent memory. Like I go back to that would have been the 2015 Young Stars Classic in Penticton where Tkachuk first, 2016 Young Stars Classic in Penticton when Tkachuk first burst onto the scene with the Flames. He was one of the standouts of that tournament, and then it carried over into the preseason, and he won a spot on merit, then he played his 9 game, and then he continued to play the rest of the season because he was an NHLer. And Sean Monahan back in 2013 was the same thing. And even look back to last year in Mark Jankowski when he burst onto the scene and we could tell that, hey, this guy has taken some strides from last year. This is one of the most impressive guys right from the get-go. Then as the lineups got more difficult, he kept on impressing and he kept on saying, I'm ready for this. That is now the task for Dylan Dubé. Yep. But I would say if I'm a betting man, yeah, it's probably the positive side as opposed to the negative side just because this guy has got skill and he's a good skater. Like he is a very gifted skater and he's smart. And those things translate when you start playing against more difficult opposition.
Yeah. No, if you were just bigger than stronger than competition or older, that goes away when you get to main camp. Those are not his advantages. He thinks it and he can fly. Those are things you're going to need to do. If you're a prospect moving forward, it's only going to get faster and you're only going to have to be making quicker decisions.
Yep.
Those are things he's good at. How you handicap the race? I mean, forget popcorn duty and 13th, 14th forward. There's 11 guys we expect to be on this team. Top six, we all know. Lindholm and Neal are the right wingers, however you like them, and the two center left wing combos that we've seen last few years. Yeah. Tkachuk, Backlund, obviously, Gaudreau, Monahan. Your third line, in theory, could be Ryan with Bennett and Frolik, and we know Jankowski, who scored 17 goals as a rookie last year, is going to make this team, as is Austin Zarnik, who they're not going to put on waivers after convincing him to come here rather than the many other options he had. He's not getting through waivers, given the interest he got July 1,
we're
2,
led
3.
To believe like 21 so, other teams ran on him,
so,
right?
So there's 11. Now, who that we haven't mentioned would you put ahead of Dylan Dubé in the race to play in that 12th forward slot?
Right now, from what I've seen, nobody. And I know that it's only two rookie games, but that's all we can go on right now. And right now, nobody's ahead of him.
Curtis Lazar scored 2 goals last year. That's not enough to move the needle. Garnet Hathaway had some success, but is probably better suited to the popcorn role than the, you know, produce role, which clearly Dylan Dubé can do. You know, we haven't seen Quine or Robinson, these, you know, AHL veterans that appear to be close to NHL caliber. Maybe they'll never get there, but they could press in theory. I don't see anyone better. Mangiapane has put up some very, very impressive numbers at his age in the AHL, but Dubé's outplayed him to this point. It would be fascinating and it would be incredibly exciting to see him break with this team at the beginning of the season.
Yep. It would be a really cool thing to see. It would be a very, very nice story to get into. And look, are we slightly ahead of ourselves? Maybe, because it is 2 rookie games against other 19 and 20-year-olds on the Oilers. And yes, you do have to take that with a grain of salt. You do have to understand that what you saw in these 2 games on Sunday and last night, is not exactly the same type of competition he's going to be facing when the Flames start their preseason here on Monday. But I do believe there's two things. First of all, I do believe the things that he's shown do translate against better opposition. And also, let's not forget that he was a pretty good standout in training camp last year, too, as a 19-year-old,
yeah.
Even though it was pretty much set in stone. When he came in and chatted with us a couple of days ago on the hot stove, he basically said, I knew my bags were packed from Kelowna. I knew I was going back to Kelowna last season. I still wanted to come in and do as well as I could in training camp, but I knew what my fate was. This year, it's a little bit different, but he showed well. He was a late cut last year because he impressed and he got some late preseason games because he's earned them. So that gives me a little bit more confidence that we're not going to be talking about him dropping off at all.
He's a guy that's been on the radar for a while, and I think he's a guy that the organization quietly has been very excited about because they haven't had a lot of high picks and they have moved some parts. I mean, Adam Fox is showing up on prospect lists ahead of anyone the Flames have in their organization. Whether that's how the Flames feel or not, I don't know. But I think quietly, they've known for a while he's going to be an NHLer. It was just a matter of where and when. What position, what year, what kind of role.
That draft could end up being a pretty successful one for the Flames because 2016's draft gave him the first round with Matthew Tkachuk. Both their second round picks are pretty highly touted prospects. Dubay and Tyler Parsons looked really good again last night too. Now, Parsons is a little further away. We're not talking about him knocking on the door. Exactly.
Like, what do we know about goalies when they're 20? Almost nothing.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk when they're 24, which is why it's such a difficult job developing NHL goaltenders because you need so much patience. Like, how old is John Gillies?
25?
24, 25. Yeah. So how much time since they've drafted him has passed and you still don't know what he is at the NHL level?
Yep.
I mean, goalies are impossible to measure when they're 2 years in, right? Mason McDonald was touted as a top two prospect in the organization at one point.
That's right. Also in that draft, off the top of my head, I believe Matthew Phillips came from that draft as well. It was pretty, like, in terms of solid players, the Flames come away with.
I got it right here. The 2016 draft for the Calgary Flames. The first pick, Matthew Tkachuk, as you've noted. Parsons and Dubé round two, both highly touted. Fox goes to Carolina. He checks in as a top 100 prospect in Corey Pronman's latest NHL prospect rankings. And then the later pick's interesting. Tallulah. Who was in Everett but went back overseas, I believe, last year. Yep. Phillips in round six as well. And I believe Falkowski's out of the organization.
He's no longer with the organization, Not bad.
Not bad at all.
It looks like it looked. No, I mean, obviously.
You get two players a draft, they say you're doing well. It looks like they could have four. That'd be really nice.
I know that you didn't have an opportunity to watch the whole thing last night. Any other prospects that you were interested in going into the game last night I can give you a scouting report on?
You know what? Three of the four were... I shouldn't say three of the four. I thought there was five guys we've talked about for the last week that really have a chance.
Three of them didn't play last night.
And three didn't play.
Yeah.
So tell me how Valimaki was, I suppose, would be the question.
Just kind of fine. Like nothing... He's got, like, there are times where you're like, okay, you can tell why this guy is an NHL prospect. The way he goes into corners, the way that he protects the puck in the corners, the way that he shows strength in his skates and is able to win physical battles in the corners, those are good things. The way he jumps up out of the rush, he's a good skater, and he's able to get himself into the attack fairly nicely. But still, I've seen a little bit too much of, you know, trying to do too much, trying to maybe make that impression, whereas you can't really go and try to make an impression. You just have to make an impression. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. You just go play as opposed to trying to jump off the page. That's when you're going to get in trouble. And I feel like there's been a little bit too much of that from a guy like Valimaki so far in these two games.
It's only going to get harder. So there's two ways to look at that. One is you better get it going. But the second is, if you impress in the next few weeks, it's more impressive than having done it in a prospects game. Here's here's what no one really wants to say at the NMAX Centrum last night. Three-quarter of these guys will never play in the NHL, and most of them won't at all this year. Maybe a couple in the whole thing.
Yep.
So showing well here isn't as impressive as it probably is necessary if you're going to be a guy that plays.
In some ways, you're trying to stay in an organization as much as you are trying to make an NHL team. Like, there's different scenarios for each guy.
Sure. So point being, if Dylan Dubé didn't impress, I'd be worried
for
his chances to make the team. Because if you can't outclass that level of hockey, what about the preseason hockey at the beginning when camp opens? And then what about the final two preseason games? And then what about when we get into the regular season? Those are a bunch of steps from what he was playing, the tempo and the caliber he was playing last night.
Yep. when you really handicap it, I think Dubé's got the leg up for what I, assuming everybody's healthy, and that's not going to happen because a forward's going to get hurt in training camp. You're very rarely coming through camp as a fully healthy team. But if everybody's healthy, there's really one spot that these guys that we're talking about are playing for. Yeah. Because I don't think you want these guys playing those extra forward roles.
No.
So right now, Dubé's got your leg up for that one spot. There is a lot of competition for that one spot, but you've got to give yourself an edge. And I do not see the Flames with everybody healthy keeping one of those guys around to just watch and to just sit in the press box. It does not make any
sense. Not if it's Fu, Mangiapane, Dubé, none of those kids. Now, if it's a Lazar or a Klimchuk or Hathaway or Peluso, yes, that makes a little more sense. You're not stunting development, but especially Dubé. I mean, Fu's a little older, but a later development path. But we're talking about a guy that could be playing mega minutes in the American League. You don't want him sitting watching from 80 feet.
So the Flames play Saturday morning, Friday night. So tomorrow night if you're out, or tomorrow morning if you work odd hours. Saturday morning, rather, if you work odd hours. They play in Boston. But in terms of...
Play against Boston in Shenzhen.
And they're not playing in Boston. They're playing in Shenzhen. That's correct.
A little further than Boston.
It is east, but it is further than Boston.
It's also west. It's the other side of the world. That's Pick your route.
I mean, I guess technically everywhere is east
and
right. west.
Just keep going.
Yeah, you know what?
You'll get there eventually.
To the west of us. If you go
Just
west, eventually you'll get to Toronto. Yeah. But then on Monday is when, from an in-person perspective, we'll get an opportunity to start seeing some of these battles play out as the Flames open up their preseason on Monday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome.
So just again to plug the pregame, 11:30 p.m. Friday night.
Correct.
You will start pregame. Puck drop a half hour after midnight, technically Saturday morning, but really Friday night for
Correct.
Those of us that stay up a little later on a weekend or a non-school night, I should say. And then by the time that game's over, we're probably looking at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, around 3, and then we'll probably do a post-game show till about 3:30 in cholera night. Now, that's usually when I'm up on a Friday night anyway, so it's not going to be
Animal.
Too much. But for the other boys, it might be a little bit later than they're usually up.
Well, makes no overtime, no overtime. No overtime in the preseason.
No.
That's probably a good thing.
And even if there was, we would make an exception for a 12:30 a.m. start. There would not be overtime in any way, shape, or form with a 12:30 a.m. start. Okay, next
up. Pat, I'm just wondering the chances of Jerome McGinley making the team.
Click. And we're out of callers.
Do you think Harvey is trying too hard, Pat? Is he trying too hard to rile up the fans? Yeah, we got to go on to the next call.
All right.